Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to worship with you again in this evening. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you again. I appreciate very much the trust that the elder of the church offered me. That means a lot. And I really enjoy to be with all of you in this morning and in this evening. And thank you for the privilege to worship with you as well. So, for this evening, I would like to open our Bibles at the book of the Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, it's called as being the second book of law. According to chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Soph, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dishab." I don't know if I pronounce very well these words in English because in my language sound totally different. But anyway, having your English Bible, you can understand what I want to say. But the point is, this is the second book of the law. It's called also as being the book of redemption or remembrance, actually. So what we have in this book? We have an old man that was like 120 years, leader of the Israel, who addressed some of the words of encouragement to the second generation of nation of Israel, which was ready to step in the land of the Canaan. Moses was afraid about the spiritual condition of the nation because he knew very well what's happened 40 years before when they were so close to get into the land, but they were afraid. Because the nation in that moment, they judged with their heart, but not with all the heart, but with emotional heart. When we read in the Bible about the heart, heart means mind. And our mind is divided in four sections. The first one is intellect. It's that side of the mind that we process all the information. The second one, it's our conscience. The third, it's will. And the fourth, it's emotion. Now, each one of us, we can ask ourselves, reading the numbers in Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, what size of the heart used the Israel nation right before they have to step in the land of Canaan? When they let that 10 spies to discourage them so hard and they refuse to trust the God. They were afraid. They were afraid and then decide to step back. Now, ask yourself, beloved, how many times that happened in your life? How many times you judge your situation with emotional heart? Not with your conscience, not with your will, not with your intellect. But you let the heart, emotion, to lead you, to guide you. And most of the time it's happened that emotion drives you far from God. But you know what? That was your choices. That's happened because you choose to do that. So open at the same book of the Deuteronomy at the chapter 30. And let's read together the last part of this chapter, especially verses 19 and 20. And Moses said, staying in the front of all the nation of Israel, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. In this moment, Moses has called Israel together, and he's challenging this nation to follow God, to love him, and to serve him, and him alone. So now, ask yourself again, how many times in your life you were in this situation to choose to serve the Lord, trusting in him with all your heart, and submit your will to his will? What would happen to you if you were in the same situation that was the nation of Israel was 3,500 years ago? Well, thinking about this situation, we have to understand that every day we have to choose. We have to decide. And I'm so happy to see all of you that decide to be here in this evening. Because you can go everywhere you want. But because you decide to be here, you came to worship God and to listen to a man that but your language, trying to speak your language, communicating with you the word of God. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But let's think together about some of the principle of choice. And the first one is that you are free to choose. And we do that every day, because God gave us freedom to make choices every day about what we think is good or bad for us. And this has happened because God created us in this way at the beginning. So let's open up Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, in the same chapter, let's read verses 15 till 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, we can see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, prepared by God. And God put them over there and give them opportunity to choose. to eat or not to eat from the tree of knowledge. What happened, we know. Because in the next chapter, in chapter 3, in a verse, 6 verses, the Bible tells us what happened with the Adam and Eve when the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So again, Adam and Eve, they're put in front of the decision to choose to eat or not to eat, to listen to the serpent or to listen to God. So my beloved, that is happening every day in our daily life. Most of the time, we handle with this kind of situation, to listen to the world and to listen to God, to listen to my friend or to listen to Jesus, to submit my will to the will of this world and to live conforming my life to the principle of the world, or to obey the gospel, to submit myself to the Almighty God. And that's happened. That's happened in the Garden of Eden. And the result was a disaster for Adam and Eve and for all humanity. Because in the 6th verse it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." In this moment, their life and the life under all God creation completely changed. And Apostle Paul, in Romans 5, verse 12, he said, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." Did you ever hear people that try to prove we born with a sinful nature? That is the Calvinist theory, which is the false teaching. This verse and the passage that we read in the book of Genesis prove the sin get into this world by choice. Adam and Eve choose to disobey the God's commandment. And in this way, every man afterward reacted. So remember the words of Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, "Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Choose you. If today you want to put all your trust in God, or put all your trust in yourself, in your possession, in your talents, put your trust in this world, or put your trust in heaven." And Joshua continuing and said, were the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, were the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as far for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many gods we have in this world? It's a god of money. It's a god of own personality. It's the god of my ego. We have a lot of gods around us. Sometimes I feel I'm in the midst of the gods in Athens, in Acts 17. When Paul get over there, he got a lot of gods around all the town. Because the Grecian nation, they had a god for everything. So this world become more like old Greece. Even we try to live in a modern society, even sometimes you try to be a good Christian and to live in this world as being God's children, faithful Christians. But sometimes in the midst of these gods, we forget who is our Lord and who is the one who wants to serve. The one who saved our souls. The one who sacrificed his begotten son. The one who promised the heaven. This is the one who has to be served by each of us. It's the same God who spoke in the Garden of Eden. It's the same God that spoke to Moses, to the nation of Israel. It's the same God who speaks to you in this evening through his word. He is the one who encourages us to be fully and put the full trust in him and choose to be his nation. And I believe it doesn't matter if this nation or the nation where I live and I belong is the most important, powerful, whatever. I believe the most important nation in this world is God's nation. Christians. For him, they are most important nation in this world. And we are free to choose. To choose him. To choose Christ. To trust in God. Every day. So, that is the way that God created us. We are free to choose. Second, you are not free not to choose. That sounds a little bit strange. It's when we decide not to choose. But basically, that's the choice. We already decide to not choose. To decide not to choose good, it's always a choice to choose evil. You know, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me, it's against me. And he who does not gather with me, scatters." That sounds we are not free to choose. And recently, I heard something like that. We are not really free. And we were not really beings created by God with completely free will. Because if I'm not choose to be with God, I'll be punished. I'll have to pay the price. Well, that is not true. Because what mean that? It means we always try to find a middle way. And Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus says in verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Well, the Lord Jesus said, it's not a gray area. It's white or black. If you are with me, you have a good option to live. If you are not with me, you'll die. Well, for many people, this message doesn't sound very well. It's not very pleasant. But that is the reality. If you read carefully these two verses, we understand we have just two options. Because the Lord Jesus speaks about two gates, two ways, two group of people, and two destination. The question is, what is the third one? What is the third one that people in this world looking for? What is the third one that many times Christian looking for? Because Christians want to find a way to escape. They try to choose something that offers them that easiness of the life, that comfort. If they have to suffer for Christ and for their own faith, they're looking for a way to escape. They want something more affordable. For this reason today, a lot of people, they are delighted to listen for the social gospel. They are looking for the churches that entertain. They offer them all kinds of programs. Give them that feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment, but not in a spiritual way. It's easy to looking around you in this society and also in my society, and I can see what's happened. The message of the gospel is not the same that was in the first century. The gospel is perverted. The gospel is adapted to the will and to the desire of the people today. Because they are not suffering to hear the truth about them, first of all. Because we have to accept the bad news about who we are before we heard the good news of the gospel. We have to accept we are sinners and we are dead in our sin and in our trespasses, how Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And afterward, to hear about the good news of the gospel, because God brought up in Jesus Christ to a new life. But brethren, you are not free not to choose. And for this reason, you have to choose Christ. You have to trust in God. I have to trust in God with all my heart. I don't have other option. If I'm not choose Christ, I choose this world. If I'm not choose the narrow way that leads to life, I choose the broad way that leads to destruction. Third of all, You are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. Oh, that is something that everyone wants. I don't want to pay the price. I want to make my choices, but I don't want to pay the price. And let me give you a little illustration about this. So imagine yourself standing beside of the open window on the 10th floor of the building. And you are free to jump. Now, that is the foolish thing, no? But if nobody is there to try to stop you, you'll be in danger. You can choose to do so, or you can choose to stay in that room. But if you decide to jump, you must be ready to face the consequences of that choice. Well, some people choose sin for their own pleasure, but forget that it carries a penalty. We have to pay the price. Somebody says sin is good, bring a lot of pleasure in our life, satisfy the lust and the flesh. But when somebody get into sin, in that moment, that person never thought about the consequences. It's just a pleasure. So let's open to the Hebrew 11, and we can see Moses in a situation to choose. And I have to say, this man had a good potential, good opportunity to live an easy life, full of prosperity. Look what the Hebrew said in Hebrew 11, verses 23 till 26. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Well, imagine yourself being in his position. What do you decide? What do you choose? If you were in a position to be son of daughter or daughter of Pharaoh's daughter, probably would not be easy for any one of us to renounce to that position and to that possession and for the future. But he did it. And he did it because he had trust in God. And he chose God rather than the passing pleasures of sin. I love that. I love this statement. That tells us a lot about what we have to do as the Christian. We have to renounce to the passing pleasures of sin and trust in God daily. And you never have to forget, we're not free to choose the consequences of our choice. So, beloved, we are free to choose. And we did that and continue to do that until the last day in our life. But we are not free to not choose, which is a little bit weary, but this is a reality. This is a truth. And when we choose, we cannot choose the consequences of our choices. And because of that, the messages of the Bible, the message of the gospel is, we have to choose God. For the simple reason because God has chosen you. And for this reason you have to choose Him. Sometimes it's difficult, I know. Sometimes it seems like everything doesn't matter around us than this world and what we have. But we don't have to forget that. Because God is the one who elect us. He's the one who loves us before we love Him. God loved us before we said, I love you, God. I love you because you are my God, you are my Savior, because I have trust in you, because you are so kind, you are so merciful with me. I love you. He loved us before we did something worthy of our salvation. In the 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, in the verse 13, Apostle Paul said, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, to sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And look what's happened. Because God chosen you at the beginning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Apostle Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had no obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. What a wonderful words use Peter here to describe Christianity. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Do you feel special in this evening? Yes, you have to. We all have to feel being special because God make us special. Because He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are now part of His kingdom. We are His own nation. And we have to put all our trust in Him. Every day. Until the last day that we live in this world. Or the last day when Jesus will come back. So, beloved, what are you choosing today? that you sit in the pew. You choose to be part of His nation. If you already did that choice, put all your trust in Him. Put all your trust in Him. And let Him to guide your life according with His marvelous plan. Because His goal for us is to reach heaven. Not to miss it. But we would miss it if you not choose Him. So, if it's any way we can help you to follow God and to make it right with Him, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.